Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now there are several passages that could be cited to introduce our lesson. But this passage is in the midst of the messianic prophecies having to do with words cited by Peter on Pentecost as referring to Christ. Our concern and our emphasis is on the phrase, in thy presence. That idea is often found in Scripture, but in various terms, such as thy presence, the presence of God, words that suggest fellowship and communication and association between God and mankind. However, the phrases do not always mean the same thing, and there are different senses in which there is the presence of God and man with each other. And as we study these senses, we shall learn much of the relationship between deity and humanity, sometimes the presence of God being inescapable, and other times a matter of human choice. First, there is the sense in which God and man are in each other's presence always. Regardless of whether one is righteous or evil, all are in the presence of God because God is omnipresent. That simply means God is everywhere, with everyone, all the time. There is no time when one can totally escape being before God. Hebrews 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest before his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. In Luke 12 and verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. So we must conclude, therefore, that all men, everywhere, at all times, are in the presence of God. Their spiritual condition does not affect the presence of God, not in this sense. He is always there. And secondly, even though God is with everyone, there is a special and unique sense in which God is with those who are His spiritual children. He maintains a warm and intimate association and fellowship with those who come to Him through His Son. As Jesus was about to ascend into heaven at the conclusion of His earthly service, having given the Great Commission, He added, Lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Now this was specifically said to the apostles, but inasmuch as the apostles did not live until the end of the world, it obviously embraces all who believe on Him through their word. John wrote concerning the relationship of deity and the Christian. In 1 John 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now this teaching relies on the child of God being in the presence of God. Psalm 140, verse 13, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. Now this does not mean that the wicked escape his presence, as noted in the very first sense of his presence that we considered, but that the upright have a relationship and association with the Father that does not adhere and does not pertain to those who are out of Christ. And there's a third sense. Even with the Christian, there is an additional sense in which God is present. God is present when we worship Him. Once a small lad was told by his father that they were, as the saying goes, going to church, meaning they were going to the worship assembly, and the little boy asked, Well, who will be there? The father responded, I do not know who all might be there, but I know the Lord will be there. That's why we are going. In Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Worship is directed toward God, and to worship is to be in the presence of God. We should always be mindful when we are assembled for worship of the presence of God. In Matthew 18 and verse 20, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." When Christians come together according to the authority of Christ, He is spiritually present. The teaching of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, referring to the observance of the Lord's Supper as a communion, brings this same presence to mind. At such a time, there is an intimate dealing one with the other between God and His people. And there is a fourth sense in which we study about the presence of God. So complete is the Lord's presence that we do not escape Him even at death, if we have made provision for Him, of course, to be with us. Psalm 139:7-12 is a passage of Scripture that we should consider that underscores the presence of God. For it teaches that in whatever circumstances His children might find themselves, God is present with them. In the 23rd Psalm, we find the phrase, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." It is as the hymn suggests. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. There will be the presence of Deity with me. But a fifth sense. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it tells us, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." Friend, it is predetermined that we shall die. Though when and where and how and what spiritual state was not predetermined. None shall escape physical death, however, and the resurrection and the judgment and eternity either in heaven or in hell. In Matthew 25, we have the picture of the judgment scene as all nations are judged. Some shall hear words of reward, while others shall hear words of eternal banishment. But the point we make here is that all shall hear one sentence or the other when we are before God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Some in the resurrection shall be raised to life. Some in the resurrection shall be raised to condemnation. But all shall be raised, and all shall be in the presence of God to be judged, and all shall pass into eternity." But yet there is a sixth sense in which some will be privileged to stand in the presence of the Lord. When Paul wrote the brethren in Thessalonica, and he answered their concerns about the resurrection and the welfare of the faithful who had already died before the Lord's return, he gave them inspired assurance that all would be well with the departed. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 13-18 is a favorite passage of man because of the hope and the comfort it provides, especially at times when we are called to bid farewell in this life to faithful ones. Paul assures us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we shall be raised and join them in the air. And so, he says, shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this refers to an eternal presence with God that begins when the redeemed enter into the never-ceasing glories of heaven. And this will occur when the Lord Jesus returns. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, in a passage where Paul describes the eternal punishment of the lost, the said banishment from the presence of the Lord will characterize that punishment. He speaks of the condition of the lost, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Hell is an eternal separation from God, while heaven is to be eternally in His presence. Now, friend, there are six senses in which we have the presence of God. But we also see in these things that some of them are unavoidable, and some of them are the result of our choice. It depends upon what one does about Christ in these matters of choice. We're all in the presence of God in the fact that God is omnipresent. We have no choice in that matter. This is not something we can determine. This is the nature of God, and so shall it be. But now, that God is with His children, we do have a choice in that particular matter, because we can decide to be His children, or, if we choose so foolishly, decide not to be His spiritual child. And God being with us in worship, there again is a matter of human choice. Now, if we choose to worship God, God will be with us, but we can choose not to worship. God will allow us not to worship. We can escape the presence of God in worship if we are so foolish to do so. But this is a matter of choice. And God will be with us at death if we have made the choice to be in Christ, and that we will cross the river of death with Him as our guide and as our comfort. We can make a choice in that matter. But being present before God in the judgment is not a matter of our choice. That's not something that we can determine. That's a presence that God has already ascertained. It will come to pass. Man will die and man will be judged. We will be in the presence of God at the judgment. But whether or not we be in the presence of God throughout eternity again resorts to our choice. We can choose to follow Christ and go to heaven and be in the presence of God eternally, or we can reject the Savior that the Father has sent and be banished from His presence forever. Dear friend, out of Christ, one will not enjoy the four senses of the presence of God that we've mentioned. Only in Christ is there salvation. Only in Christ is God with us in worship. Only in Christ is God going to be with us at death. Only in Christ shall we live eternally with God. What of your relationship with the presence of God? Can we plead with you to make sure and certain that God will be with you in all of these circumstances? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.